for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. This is the 2012 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, May the 26th, 2012. Don Andrews is the speaker of the service teaching on God's pressure.
Now, without further ado, I want to introduce to you your speaker this morning. What's your name? Brother Don Don Andrews? Is Andrews still Andrews? A brother that we've been involved with more years than I want to count, because he already got me with my age, so I'm not going to do that again, but for a long time. And we really appreciate him, and we know that he's got a fresh word, a good word, and we know that he don't just speak to himself, talk, because he'd rather not. So we just bless him, and we bless you too with what he's got for you. Thank you.
Victor kind of started me out this morning, so it's been kind of a theme of what's happening at this camp. God is pressing His people like never before, and what I'm going to share on a little bit is God's pressure or just pressure. And I want to pray first, and I'll tell you how it kind of came about, and some other things that have been really important to me through the years. Even Richard was here, was my pastor in California for quite a few years, and I love him very dearly. I was so grateful that God sent me to him and his wife, Mara. It changed my life. I learned what God's love was. I had never known that he loved me. And it wasn't just a love. It was a love that destroyed who I was and made me somebody new. Destroyed the flesh part of me that's still going on somewhat, but destroyed it enough, removed it enough that I was able to hear his voice and know him like I'd never known him before. The truth of who he was that I never learned in church, I never learned being taught by those people that I knew before. That there really was a God, and he really was real, and he really could do things in my life. He really could change me if I was let him, if I would agree with him. And he showed me how to agree with him, and as I went along, how to even agree more. And he showed me heavenly places, and he showed me what it was to be in his presence. And like everybody else, I'm selfish and self-centered and full of flesh, and I'm full of those things that are negative toward him. Even now, I get caught by those things and have to get changed once again, and have to get talked to once again, and have to get kind of squished a little bit so he can sort out the pieces and get rid of the stuff he doesn't want once again. So I want to talk about pressure this morning, and I just want to say to you that, first of all, pray. Lord, I just thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for preparing me a little bit. You know that every time I do this, it changes, and I just want to be a blessing to those that are here, and I want to be a blessing to you, Lord. I want to share what you gave to me carefully, that I would touch your heart first. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. You have to excuse me. I'm not a crier. You can tell that. I'm a tough guy. I really am. If you knew me before, I was a tough guy. I didn't cry for nothing. I had my finger cut off and I don't cry and that kind of stuff. So, but God changes us. You know? And I'm not ashamed to say that I am or anything. I don't even know what shame has to do with it. I mean, there's things in us that disagree with that and don't want to be loose and free and don't want to let God deal with us. You know, we do deliverance with a lot of people, and we hear things from people, and we learn. You wouldn't believe what a learning class for us that deliverance is, because there's always something we never faced before, and we get to talk to people about it, and they share their heart with us about some things, and then God shares their heart with us, and sometimes they don't like that. But we speak to them as truthfully as we can, God opens these things up, and He's, a lot of you are here for deliverance, or you have issues, you know, that, and God's trying to set you free of them, you know. And I just say if you argue with one of the ministers, you're arguing with God at that time. You know, there's a humble place in there, and it's not a humble place you take on and say, I'm humble. But it's a place of obedience to God, that your interest is in pleasing Him, not in pleasing yourself or the other person that's even supposedly ministering to you. That His heart is the most important thing to you. Pleasing Him is the most important thing to you. Not for a return on it. See, I learned from a long time ago that I try to please God because He's done so much for me. And I can look back through my life and say, well, this happened, that happened. It don't like He really did a lot of good things in my life. But He did a lot of things in me to change me. He did a lot of, I think, wonderful things, no matter how bad they seemed at the time. He pressured me just right. He guided me through pressure just right down the paths that He had for me to walk. He had a longing for me that I couldn't understand. He longed for my heart. He longed for my mind and my attention. He has such a longing and love for us. And it's the problem with it is we keep thinking that love is going to be a gentle thing that's going to float in on a breeze and we're going to change and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. I didn't have to go through anything. I just thank you for changing me. You know. And He says, you know, that you're going to suffer like I suffered. You're going to. And I'm not saying, you know, we say a lot of that stuff and everybody's, oh, you're going to get hammered again by this suffering and stuff and this persecution and stuff. And I'm tired of hearing that that's what it is. And then I could come and tell you, well, you know, He's going to buy you a new car and you're going to have a big house and everybody you know is going to get saved. And whenever you speak and pray, lightning bolts are going to shoot out and hit everybody. And yeah, I could tell you that, but it's not true. And this is experience. I mean, everybody, I was reading this little note in one of these books, and I really respect and appreciate the guy that wrote the book. But he said that I agree with him. I agree with him to a certain extent. He said that people can be delivered and healed of their sickness. He said sickness was not meant for us to have, that we were meant to be healed. And this person that he was talking to was saying, well, you know, God gave it to me as my thorn in the flesh, my trial. And he said, well, do you go to the doctor? Well, yeah, I go to the doctor. But I'm telling you, even through sickness, it's a pathway into righteousness and a relationship with God. But it doesn't stop there. That's not the end all. Those things are just part of your walk to Him. I looked up Matthew 7:14, and there's a 7 and 13 actually, but I got them split. And it says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be to find it. And then in that description of narrow, the definition means pressure. It means the definition extends out to being pressure applied. It's narrow and it's compressed. It's a place that we have to be compressed to pass through. You know, I have a testimony of this on a tape of this woman named Lydia from Africa, and she said that God showed her those proud people, and some people were too tall, couldn't get under the thing that God had compressed down. They were too wide, they couldn't get in the narrow place. They were short enough, but they couldn't get in. Some of them couldn't bow over low enough to get underneath the gate and get in. So God applies pressure to our lives so that we can fit in the place He's prepared for us. That sounds kind of funny, but He brings us down. He has a place prepared for us, and our self has to be cut off, squeezed down, pressed down, cleaned out, made room inside for Him, that He can bring us down to the size of fist to make us bow. We know in deliverance that we have a lot of knee problems because you won't bow. Have a lot of neck problems because you're stiff-necked and proud. You know, have a lot of hand problems because we put ourselves to the wrong hands of the wrong step. We won't repent of it. We quit, but we won't repent of it. We still think we did the right thing. We're just on to a new thing. We knew it was wrong when we did it. We justify those things, and what's bad about it is we open the door for other things to enter in. You know, so we're needing to allow this pressure. And it says, the other part says in 13, says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, straight gate here means obstacles in the way. Straight means obstacles in the way, pressed down, pushed in to get to the narrow way. So He's guiding us. His straight doesn't always look straight. Doesn't always look straight. It looks a little crooked to us, but it is straight. So God's trying to reform our lives. He says in Luke 13:24-25, strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without a knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not. Who are you? It says in the King James, whence are you? Where do you come from? Who are you? There's a parallel road. There's a parallel road that kind of intersects and winds off. And it looks like the right way, feels like the right way, smells and tastes like the right way, but it's not the right way. It looks just like the right way, but it's an easier walk. It's less problems, less pressure, less everything. And we all choose to go that way sometimes. The problem with that is God's here, and that walkway goes like this, and pretty soon you're just like that. God's still over here, and you're so far away, you can't. There's no way to get back over. You've got to go back to that intersection, and a lot of us won't go back to that intersection and go back because, well, I've already come this far. Just let me jump over. And I know from my experience that you don't jump over. You don't jump over. You have to take your heart, your soul, your will, your mind, and go back to that place and re-give it back to God and repent of the fact that you decided to do it your own way. Because that's what it is your own way. And what's bad is you get down to the end of that road, the pressure there is not good pressure, and it's still going to be pressure. You know, the devil's pressure is different. The devil's pressure destroys us for good. And he tries to get us convinced that there's no way back, that this path is really God's path, and we didn't really make a mistake, and he's deserted us down here for some reason because he really just didn't love us. It's because he doesn't come back right away, especially if we don't try to make it right. And even when we try to make it right, he doesn't come back right away. Because we have to have a heart cry that he's satisfied with it. Because in this whole thing of pressure and the narrow way, he wants our heart and our whole attention. He's not interested in part of it. He's not interested in what we can do for him. He's not interested in how much money we can give him. He's not interested in our evangelism. He's not interested in who gets healed or set free by us. He's interested in our heart's direction, that we are, that he's everything and all to us. That's what that narrow way does, and make us in his likeness, is to bring people in that look like him, that worship him, that love him, and that he's the sole focus of their life. I'm not saying you can't have things that you do. I'm just saying that all parts of your life should be focused on him. Everything that is you should be in his hands. And that's what that narrow, compressed way is for. Some of us really, really... one of my notes here brought back to memory. It says, finding peace when the pressure is on and all around. If we're in his pressure, there's peace there. Because I'm telling you, when I've been the most pressed, when I've been the most in a situation that was almost, I couldn't get out of, I was too sick, I felt like to get well, and I felt the closest to God I've ever felt in my life. Now, I didn't want to be sick, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't say, God, leave me sick so I can feel this. I almost regretted coming out of some of those situations because my relationship was so intimate with Him there. Because I put everything on Him. But what he wants me to do is when I come out of that place, that I keep that intimacy. That I keep that same relationship when I'm out of that place. Because I can count on he's going to take me someplace else. He's not going to just leave me there. I said yesterday, he's a progressive revealing God. And he desires to know me, to know him more, and to receive more of him, and to change me in that. We have a big issue of trust, you know. And this pressure and these changes, we learn to trust him. Even when it looks like things are not are going, what Richard calls south, that it's his south, that we're going with him. I know for myself, things that happen in his realm don't always look good to my eyes, and I follow him places I would never even. Well, back when I was younger, I went a lot of places. I don't think that he would go with me, but it was pretty bad. I wouldn't go there now. I'd probably be afraid to. He takes us places to change us, even through, you know. Say I'm mature in the spirit, you know. I shared one time, and somebody came up and told me after like this. I shared like this, and he said to me, "Well," he said, "someday you'll grow out of that." I thought, "Well, thank you. I feel better now." What did I say? He said, "You'll get over that. You'll be better." I said, "Well, thank you. I appreciate that." You probably saw something I didn't. But even though we're mature in him, this thing never stops. You know, we keep thinking, well, I know him well enough, and I hear his voice, and I'm this, and it could get to be a prideful thing. But it never stops. It never stops. He's always, I shared one time on coming as a little child, and I used to think I was going to be reasoned with God, and I'm thinking, well, God, I'm an adult, you can talk to me like an adult. And then I really saw how much I really knew. He showed me this is how much you really know about who I am. And I really felt like a little child. I said, no wonder you deal with me like you do, like I'm kind of blind, deaf, and dumb. Because I'm this little bitty child. I'm barely out of whatever diapers or whatever you want to call it. I walk around blindly thinking about myself all the time. And wanting to satisfy myself, even wanting you to satisfy myself with you, how I want you to be to me. I want to dictate my whole relationship. And God said, no, he showed me that. He said, Now, what do you think? And I said, I rest my case. I won't claim that anymore. I won't try to reason with you and say I'm an adult. Now let's talk about this like adults, in a way. It's not a conscious thing. We do it, all do it, because we want to be dealt with on a level that our mind can grasp and wrap our mind around these things. And God just said, you can't wrap your mind around me. I'm too big. I'm too beyond anything that you comprehend. I get into time and space and I get lost. I get into eternity and I get lost. How do I dictate, like Richard said, this little sliver of time is right in there in eternity, and how do you get a hold of that with a finite mind and grasp that, So revelation is the only way. God's showing us how those things work and not trying to do it with a mindset and trying to put it in our understanding, but allow Him to be God. And once you know Him, you'll know when the enemy comes. You're not going to be really fooled unless you let your heart lead you away into something you've desired so deeply that you'll take any. I've done that. That you'll take it in because your heart desires it so much. Now, some people want to be healers. Some people want to be deliverance ministers. Some people want to be the evangelist. Want to be Billy Graham's and this and that. And you can go do it. But if God's not that real to you and you're out there and thinking you're hearing His voice and going the way, you're going to hear it according to how you hear it. You're into that I'm an adult thing again. And you take responsibility for yourself, then God's not responsible for you anymore if you're going to keep doing that. He's longing for you to turn back and say, well, look at my progress. What have I done? We all should stay in check with God in these narrow ways. They keep getting narrower and narrower. They keep making us smaller and smaller, and we don't like getting smaller and smaller. I found that, as you move deeper into God and you've been in the relationship with Him, and I know some great men of God, when they face death, those things that are in there come out. Because they did not let God deal with that thing whenever they were coming up and coming out. They thought, I've got this thing going on, and this is what I really want. And they might have not even been conscious of it. But as your age and all those things continue on, those things manifest. And the cry of my heart is, God, that I would see these things now, that I would love you at the end, that I would love what you're doing with me, that I would even love the way that my death comes upon me. Because it's from you in your time and your place. Because you have a life planned, mapped out for us in a way. He created us before time began in eternity. He set us in motion back then, really. And then set us on the earth to show the world and the spiritual realm and the principalities and powers His glory through us. That He could change something like us into something like Him. That He could have these men that seem so dumb, without understanding, become royal spiritual beings that could commune with God on a level beyond anything that probably any principality of power has ever seen before in the world. That He could show Himself to them and trust them with His stuff. Trust Him with His spirit, with His secrets, with heavenly things. That we would hold them carefully in our hands and deal with them with reverence and respect. Because they're His and they're given to us from Him. There's nothing we've done, nothing that we have a right to or could have done that would give us the right to have those things that God is offering us. God has mercy and grace for us that because he created a being that He could put His love on. And the secret of it is that we would choose Him above all things, and no matter what happens to us, no matter what comes our way, that we would choose Him. That's what the longing of His heart is, that we choose Him over everything else, over ourselves, over the world, over things, that we would choose Him. That we would let His love rest on us. Because we're incapable of loving Him to the depth that His love can love. So His love He wants to place on us so that we can love Him with His love. It's way beyond any love we have. And that we receive the works of His love in us because we understand that He loves us. And the works of His love sometimes are real challenging. They're in this pressure area. They're in this obstacle area, this straight that's supposed to be straight, but it's not. It's really an obstacle area that we have to confront obstacles to stay in that straight path. We're hemmed in by it. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect, and perfect will of God." It'd be like getting up in the morning and saying, "Who do I belong to? What do I belong to?" The first thing that I get up, I go, "Oh man, I got to go to work today. I got this, that, and that. Oh, I got to talk to so and so. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that." Or, "Oh man, another day. What's going to go wrong today? What's going to happen today?" And when you get in that narrow path, there's days in connected that you'll do that sometimes if you're not careful. We don't turn to God. We don't submit ourselves to Him. We don't cry out to Him. And if we do, it's not long enough to really get an answer. You know, I'm speaking of maturity now in a way. You know, I'm speaking of maturity now in a way, not in ourselves and how we understand God and how much we know that He's going to always intervene. I remember back when I was young, I used to think, "Man, God never listens to me. He never talks to me." I said, "Everything goes wrong. All my cars break down. Everything's going wrong at work. I'm upset all the time. I'm frustrated all the time." But I had come from such a bad place that I knew that God was my only answer. And I knew if I didn't stick with Him, I'd be back in that place because I know how I was. So in the depth of my heart, I had nowhere else to go but Him. So He was my destination. I wasn't very good at it. But I gave myself to Him in a way and I would never take myself back. Even when I said I don't want to go, I want to go. But I knew what was back there and what was coming forward wasn't any good. It wasn't changing my life. It was just making me worse off. And I thank God that He made it that way, that the pressure was so great that I had to move somewhere. You know, when your pressure gets so great, you've got to move. You've got to move. Now He hems you in that straight way. If you really got, He knows you've got a heart for Him, He's going to hem you in so that you're going to seem like you're making all kinds of mistakes, and you kind of are. But they are the mistakes that is going to produce something in you, because He's got you. He knows your heart. He knows that you really want Him. He knows that you really want to receive something from Him. But He also knows that you want it your own way. You know, like Burger King or whatever it is. Have it your way. And He knows that He's got to break that in you. That stubborn streak, that pride, that desire to be ruler of your own life. Leviathan is that way. Some people, He's real strong. He wants to run your own life. So He presses us and presses us. Presses us. So we don't start out daily with just a new mind. We've got the same mind. But He's renovating our mind. He's restructuring our emotions and our thought process. He's refocusing our souls. He's trying to bring our soul and spirit into unity so that it starts agreeing what is important, who's important in our life. He's taking out things that aren't good for us and aren't doing good in us and replacing it with things that are changing us and making us good inside. You know, that's His purpose. And I know from deliverance there's a lot of wounding in a lot of us, that when these things start happening, we get frustrated because we think, "I've already been wounded and hurt enough. I've already been destroyed enough. I've already been hurt enough." But I can promise you, when you walk up here in the morning at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whenever you get here, 5:30, God is going to have an answer for you if you really want it. If you don't really want it, He probably won't. And sometimes He'll give you the answer and you won't want it when you get it. It takes a while to break through. It takes a while to break through. We were having a talk with a friend the other day, and he He said it felt like God had, I'll just use my words, tore him open. He was draining out and losing himself. And he couldn't stand to lose himself in a way, but he couldn't stop it from going. Now what do I do? Well, God did that to me with authority. One day I used to just supervise a lot of men, and I used my authority incorrectly. I thought you had to, you know, let them be a hard. This is my authority, you know, do what I say. And one day I was looking at myself and listening to myself, and I thought that's terrible. That I would have to be ruled under that type of a natural authority, you know, a tyrant type thing. And I wasn't being real mean, but I was real solid in it, and down to the fact of violence, if you want to go that way. So whenever God started changing me, I felt like I was losing myself. How am I gonna hold this together? I said, I don't know who I am now. All of a sudden, I have no authority. I'm drained out. What do I do? And God says, well, you know, you can walk in my authority. I said, well, how do I do that? I've been in the other authority so long. So I said, well, I went to work in some other places. I said, well, I'm going to test it out. And so I started exerting authority as best I could in his authority. I started speaking to people more like constructively instead of destructively. And I noticed that doing it in the way he was showing me that my authority was even extended more. I had people doing things because they wanted to do them for me instead of things just because I was being that way. You know, when you cut your pride off and you start drain, your pride drains out, you lose yourself. You lose yourself because you're not in control anymore. I wasn't in control anymore. I was lost. I was trying to get my control back. I was trying to scrape all that control sand back up off the floor and put it back in the package so I could have myself back, because I knew that. Because I felt weak without it. You know that scripture, God, the Holy Spirit is telling me, yeah, but when you're weak, I'm strong. I thought, well, that's foreign to me. I mean, you know, when I come up to share or think, we'd like to feel full of the Holy Spirit and strong. And when we walk up there feeling weak, what do? Oh, no. But I found out sometimes in my greatest weakness, I speak a word and power issues out of it. Because it wasn't me, because I didn't feel strong anymore. So God is pressing us, trying to change us. He's pressing us, trying to make us different, presses trying to make us like him. And sometimes we don't understand the pressure, and it's hard for us because we lose ourselves in that. I know I lose myself in it, and I think, how much more can I lose? You know, I feel pretty thin in that area, and God shows it to me. Well, I am pretty big. So he'll show me somebody or something will come my way, and I'll watch myself respond to it, and I go, boy, I am really big. I'm really big. Because I know in issues of relationship and people, God was always telling us, and something that Richard and Mara told Ada, and God reminds me, these people that would have issue with me, they don't have a problem, I do. They got control of my life as long as I let them have issue with my life and control my emotions, my anger, my frustration. You know? I know here at the camp, we work these issues out. God's trying to make us a body that we love each other. And see each other in our own weakness, in our own way, that we could uphold each other in prayer and bring each other into freedom, you know, in that. That we'd be real brothers and sisters in Christ. I know that's kind of the cry of my heart, that this family of God would be something that could not offend me in any way. That I could walk without offense in there and have a clear mind in it. You know, when we get offended or something happens to us or something's going on in God's presence, we lose our mind. We get fogged over and all that anger and walls go up and God presses us even more and they go up even higher. Pretty soon we're chewing on things and going crazy. Well, God, why is this happening to me? And he's saying, submit. Give it to me. Give it all to me. Submit it. And we're frustrated because we can't. Well, what about this? I was praying for somebody the other day, and I won't say who or anything. And every time I'd pray for something, as a matter of fact, it's more than one, it's about four, they'd say, but what about this? But what about this? But what about this? And I thought, you know, that's very true the way I think too. God will come to me and want to change something. I'll say, but what about that, God? But what about that? And what about them? And God says, the Holy Spirit said, bind that but spirit. And I said, well, I bind you but spirit in the name of Jesus. And it cuts right through that. it sets you free from that, because the enemy is always trying to get our mind distracted off things when that pressure comes on. He's always trying to say, well, what about them? They have the problem. And we're, no, you have the problem. They're just fine. They think they're just fine. But you're the one that's having an emotional issue with it. So God's pressing us. He's pressing us. He's pressing us. He's not going to let us escape if we want Him. If we don't want Him, we might escape. But it isn't going to be that much fun, because once we've known the presence of God and the taste of the Jesus, you'll never be satisfied with anything else. It'd be a misery. You don't have to wait to go to hell to be in torment and burned in flames. I guarantee you. I have a younger brother I love dearly. Years ago when he was saved at 12 years old and God called him to preach, and me and him, we were really sinners. And by every means of the word. And somehow he's, drug use kind of affects your brain, pretty soon the things that were little are big, and the things that were big are little, and then all of a sudden all the things that really happened or didn't really happen, and all the things that didn't happen really happened, anger and revenge and unforgiveness, drugs do that to you. They just magnify that stuff, change you and make you crazy. And by the, my brother's, I'm probably 50, my brother's 58 or 9, and he's just like he was when he was 19 or 20. Only worse. Now, if you're watching Dennis, forgive me, and I hope you're saved. I haven't talked to him in a few years. But I love him and I want him to come to Jesus. But because of his choice, he knows who God is. He's in torment. And I think drug use his drug use is part of how he deals with his torment, because he knows where he's at and where he's going and what's going on with him. He knows that God loves him. He had too close of a call with Jesus to not know that. I'm just going over these things because when God's pressure comes on, we need understanding of what's going on. We need to know what's happening in us and to us. We need to know why we're doing the things we do and why we're not responding to God and why we're out there going and, I'm speaking these things that it would touch your soul and pierce your heart, that the Holy Spirit would go before it, that you would know this in whatever level you are, and however good you think you are, and how wonderful you already think you are, or how bad you really think you are, that God would touch your heart, pierce your heart, and show you that the things that are happening to you now are to bring you to Him, if you'll let Him. That you're not as immature and not as babyish, and you're not as grown up and big as we think we are, and I think I am. I've kind of given up on that. Now, I'm not a very good natural speaker, so I just go along. I'm sharing my heart with you that these things I'm saying, when I say we, it kind of takes the pressure off me. But I say I, as God has dealt with all of these things with me. He's dealing with all of these things in me. I was going to share on a radio show, and this is part of what I shared on this radio show. And I was thinking, Lord, I don't know what to share on a radio show. And for a whole week, you've been saying pressure, pressure, pressure. And I've been like, man, there's a lot of pressure. And I've, wow, there's a lot of pressure. And I've been thinking that. And I sit down that Sunday and I go, what am I going to share on? And he says, the word pressure. I went, oh, there is a lot of pressure. I think I'll share on that then. And I got something together and talked on pressure, because that's what he was doing with me. And I found that you can't really go wrong with the thing that he's doing in your life, especially if it's bringing you out and bringing you through. Because I'd much rather hear something from the heart than something, some story that was made up that the person really has no connection. It's just a story to make me feel good. Or just that I can relate to and hopefully change my life, but there's no spirit resting on it. It touches my mind. Titus 3, 5 through 7 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Not by righteousness ahead of time, but by works of righteousness in us. A works of righteousness in me was that He asked me to do something or give something up that was protecting me, and I gave it to Him. I was obedient. To be obedient is our works of righteousness in God. And acts of obedience are things that He brings to us and says, I want that anger, I want that revenge, I want that whatever demon it is that's got a hold of you, I want that, give it to me. And my act is to say, oh, you can have it. And he'll say, well, what about this? And I say, okay, I'll do it. He asked me to be sharing up here when they asked me. They said, well, you can share Monday morning or today. And I thought, you know, God, it'd be easier for me to share on Monday morning because it's the last morning and there's less people and all that. But, you know, less pressure. And the Lord says, no, I want you to share this morning. I said, well, okay, I'll try it. I'll do it. But there's things that He asks us to do that changes our lives because they're out of obedience. And those are acts of righteousness. We can do good deeds, but those, and they look right to those around us, but those are not acts of righteousness to God. Those are actually butt demons. But what about me doing this? But what about me doing that? I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you. Because it's easy for me to do that. I have a natural ability. You know, it must be from God. It's a natural ability. And I've always found that God always asks us to do the things we aren't very natural at. Things because of that pressure applied changes. He always asks us to do something that we would never be able to do without Him. Because He wants us to learn to trust in Him completely. You know, because if we do what we do and we're good at it, then we're trusting in our own ability. We can give God some kind of glory for it, but we know that we can do it, so we're at ease. But He puts us in an unfamiliar environment, in an unfamiliar place, in an unfamiliar way of doing things, and He says, now I want you to grow and change. And we say, out of a right work before Him, yes, I will do it. I will say no matter what. And as we walk in that way, He'll ask us to do other things that makes us more right before Him and breaks down our pride and our selfishness and our self and our arrogance and our ability to trust in our own selves. So He can fill us with His Holy Spirit. What did that say? According to, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's all supernatural. It's all supernatural. All of it. Ours is to say, yes, Lord, and put feet to it and let Him do it in us. It is which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. We're justified by His grace, not by any works or acts we do. Acts of obedience is what's going to do it for us. It's going to carry out His justification in us. Okay. Of course, we like to say, I don't understand why all this pressure's here. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. Then if you're where you're supposed to be, walk out the pressure. That's why I say it. If I'm where I'm supposed to be, then I got great pressure on me, then I need to walk that pressure out to its end. Is God unable to keep me? Is He unable to care for me? We were talking with someone here this morning and the issues of life. Would God give His child a snake or a scorpion? Does it look like a snake or a scorpion? Probably. But would He give it to you? No, He wouldn't. He doesn't give us anything demonic. And that's what those are. He gives us good things that change us and brings us into His kingdom. When these kind of pressures come, we learn to seek and we learn to ask. The only answer we should pray for according to His will. And then there's this one big note here. It says, He created and birthed us for this day. And He won't put us in anything else, anything that we can't come through. He won't put us in anything we can't come through. Of course, we look at it and think, oh. But He said, if you're in the place I want you, and I feel He said, if you're in the place I want you to be and you're walking the road I want you to walk, you can say to that mountain, be moved into the sea and it'll be cast into the sea. Like Richard said, he's a going through God. He's not going around. He's not going under or over. We're not taking the easy way out. And I know that sounds like not fun. But after a while, it gets to be more fun, you think. Because you get to see Him prove Himself to you all the time. It really does. And it kind of gets exciting to see what the answer is going to be after a while. That we divorce ourselves from the results of the pressure. We kind of, in the beginning, we accept those results as affecting our life and damaging us. But they don't. They actually are cleaning us out and taking out those, making us want those things out of us that aren't supposed to be there. So after a while, as we get close to Him and our relationship grows and we trust Him and knows that He's only got good things for us, if we're His, how could anything not come our way that's from Him? You know, it wasn't like he hired us to work for Him and He's paying us a wage. He came in a mercy and grace and His love for us, and did the work in us and doing the work in us. He loves us. He sent His Son on the cross. We say that all the time, to die for us and take all that off of us. Then why would all of a sudden, in His ownership of us, I was thinking today how much He owns me, that I would want Him to own me more, that I would recognize His ownership deeper than I do now. I still don't see it to the depth that I would like to see it, because I still feel like I have rights to my own emotions about things that aren't really the things I should have emotion about. But they would own me so completely that I would trust Him with everything. Sometimes I think that the worst thing we can trust Him with is people. And He puts us in a really pressured position so that we deal with those issues in us, out of our fathers, our mothers, friends, school, ancestral stuff that put all this conflict in us, that, and then He sends us people that just exacerbate that conflict to its highest level, and we're wanting to get out. We're wanting to get out. What I found is staying in there, no matter, I've escaped several times. What I found is staying in there changes me. I don't worry about it anymore, about who else changes. I want to be changed, because I don't want to be walking around in misery because of my pride and what I think should be right and wrong. I just don't want to do that anymore. This is how it should be. We need to get rid of them. We need to get rid of this. We need to get rid of that. God's mercy. I have no mercy in me sometimes. None. And so God's working on my mercy. That I would have His mercy. I would see deeper into the spiritual realm and extend my discernment into other things besides what I want to discern. We like to discern things and do deliverance and tell people things that are hidden. But He wants us to extend our discernment into reasons for things so that we can be with Him in what's going on. We won't be a problem. I like to be... I was saying this last time I was talking, I think. I want a peaceful heart. I want a peaceful heart. I want to be at peace with myself and God as much as I can, all the time that I can. I'm tired of being anxious about this or anxious about that. And I look at it and say, what a waste of time. Because they're nothing. They're little things. But they seem to grow and become a mountain right off the bat. But I want to be free of all that. I want to have a peaceful soul towards God. I want my soul to agree with my spirit. I want to be changed that way. And I'm saying this that way because our pressure that God applies allows us to be changed. He has purpose in everything that comes our way. If not to teach us to war in the Spirit, to be free, but to also clean us out and set us free and choose Him over that. A lot of us, these things happen to us and we choose anger and revenge and bitterness and anxieties and get ulcers and get stomach acid and get bladder problems, get colon problems, get back problems, get headache problems, get all kinds of things, diabetes. And I found that, and I'm just, I might be in an upswing in my life, I don't know, but I found that as God is ridding me of these things that used to hold me emotionally, I feel better all the time. I'm over 60 years old and my joints feel better. And I feel better, more energetic. But that's God. I mean, as I let Him set me right, I've been run over from cars to motorcycles to people to sledgehammers. I've had half my bones broken in my body and everything else. And those things, I thought by the time I was 60, I couldn't walk. I'd be in such pain that I wouldn't want to. But God heals those things and makes them right in us. And if He doesn't, so what? That's my other half of that. It's not going to change who He is and how much I love Him and how much He's shown Himself of me. So what? That I would be that way and know Him more. What does it matter? That I would know Him whether I got better or not. I don't hinge my Christian walk on the fact that He's done anything in me. I want it to be because He is God and I know who He is. And He's shown Himself to me and expressed His love in my heart and in my soul. Beyond what I could have ever done. I want to read something real quick. It's, I found it in some old notes I had. I've got a lot of other stuff, but I think I'm going to close. I think I've said enough. And but I want to read this if I can find it real quick. Maybe back here. Ah, there it is. Okay, I'm going to read this to you, and it kind of contradicts some of the stuff because, you know, we believe in tunnel walking around here a little bit. Some of us do. I was taught, when Richard was teaching a long time ago, we learned about it. We get put in tunnels. You know, there's a difference between a cave and a tunnel. The devil puts us in caves. God puts us in a tunnel. Some tunnels are small, but a tunnel always has a light at the end of it. It always has a destination in it. Some tunnels are hard. Some tunnels are windy. Caves have no destination. They have no air through them. They have no light at the end. It's a blind box canyon type thing. So, she wrote here, and if you knew Mara, you would be surprised to hear her say this because she's Samoan and she doesn't speak English very well. So when she talks, it's half Samoan, half English. But she said this, and I think this is where God's kind of taken His people in some ways that He could trust them. And she said, one day there will be no more tunnels. We will be walking in or out on an open plain. There will be only one set of footprints. We will have unlimited directions to go. But there's only one set of footprints. And what are we going to do then? That we would know Him so well. And here she wrote here, we had better learn how to hear His voice in the tunnels. The tunnel walk is a controlled environment in that you can only walk in one direction. It's not like the walk out on the plain where controls are done away with. That we would know His voice, know who He is, that He would be so much in us that we would not lose His footprint, that we would always walk in it. It's a matter then that He trusts us. He trusts us, and that doesn't mean all pressure's gone, but He's opened up the heavens to us even more than we had really thought He would. He's shown us a place where He's at that only He can go. But because we're His and so much His that He can put us in those places that only He can go. And it's not a thing to long for in the privilege of being that. It's a thing to long for in the relationship that deep. You know, I'm honored. God gave me this gift. I'm not honored by the gift. I'm honored by the relationship. I'm honored that He trusts me with Himself. That He loves me so much that He wants to change me. Regardless of my attitude about it or my mentality. But I would long for narrow places. I would long for tunnels that would change me. And I would long for those places that only those that are His can go and be changed. No one else can go there but His. And they're the only ones that are changed when they go there, like Him. It's a privilege to walk those places. It's a privilege to have those things done in our lives. We always talk like it's, and I did too, that, oh man, when's this going to be over? When am I going to be wonderful? But it's a privilege that He would trust us to walk those places He walked. That He would go through those things that He went through. That He could do those things in us that were done in Him. That we could stand like He stood. We would know how He felt. We would know how He thinks because of what He went through. Because of what He suffered, isn't that what the Scripture said? Because in all of this, there's good times. I'm not saying that it's all going to be bad, bad, bad. Because I tell you, as you walk out those tunnel walks, they get shorter. And the time in between gets longer. And His presence is so wonderful there. It's wonderful there. I just say this out of my experience. You know, I know that not everybody sees me the way Jesus sees me or the way I see Jesus. But at the same time, I know what I want. I want Him. And I know that in this whole thing out of my action, reaction in life, that's where I'm headed. And I would say it myself, and I probably would take it back in some of my bad moments, but I want Him to do whatever it takes to take me there. I said that in the beginning when He came for me, and in that really dark place He found, when He came and said, I've come for you. And I said, well, I don't think I can go. And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You know I can't do this. I can't be a Christian. I can't do it. I've tried all these years. I can't do it. What am I going to do?" He said, "Well, I'll take you." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what." I said, "You can have my life then. But I'm not going to try to be a Christian for you. I don't know how. I've failed so many times. What good is it? The better off I don't fail again. I don't know if I could do another failure." I said, "So from now on, my life is yours. I'm not even going to try to be. You do what you want with me. You bring me to you your way." I never really tried. I was probably as stubborn and resistant. And you can ask Richard. He probably knows how he's seen from the outside instead of from the inside. But God was faithful. I know that place He got me, He brought me from. And I know that I did not help Him one bit. I did not try to help Him one bit. I know that He loved me so much that out of my rebellion and my resistance, He brought me anyway. He applied such great pressure on me, I could have been bitter and angry about it. And I kind of was angry at God for a while there. But as He brought me out of those things, I saw Him in it. I saw His love. I saw Him in it. I'd never seen Him in it before. That He would love me so much to take that much time out of somebody that was so resistant, so rebellious. And wasn't trying to help Him at all. I probably was more resistant than I was helpful. But He brought me. And I love Him for it. I don't think I could ever turn my back on Him anymore. At all. Ever. Lord, I just want to pray for everybody this morning, Lord. I know that we've all got things going on, and I know the devil's got part of our soul, and I know that he's done some things to us, and we just can't get out of them, Lord. But right now, I want to speak to those things in the Spirit, Lord. I want to speak to that resistance in everybody. I want to speak to those things the enemy's got a hold of. Lord, and I just say, break their hearts right now, Lord. Break that anger, break that rebellion, break that resistance in the spirit realm. Bind it up and remove it from them, Lord. Or shatter its power so you can move through and speak to them, Lord. Speak to their hearts, convict their hearts, Lord, not of not being saved, but of sin and of rebellion to you, Lord. I pray you'll convict my heart right now of my rebellion to you and doing what I want to do and not giving you everything you want. And try to living my life the way I kind of want to live it and give it to you too, Lord. I know that's still in there. Before this meeting's over, Lord, just pierce their hearts, Lord, and let all that ugly stuff run out, Lord, and fill those places with you, Lord. Because your love is uncompromising. Your love is consuming. It's a consuming fire. That's your love. You come to consume us, Lord. And this weekend, let everyone, Lord, that seeks you to be consumed by that fire of your love. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I just thank you and praise you, Lord. Amen. And Lord, bless the food.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.